Down to Business. Sponsored by Flowgas. On the grid, off the grid. Flowgas is Ireland's only supplier of LPG and natural gas. Wherever you are.
Now, technology is generally viewed as a vehicle of progress, but there is also a degree to which technological change can be very disruptive to certain groups. Just ask anybody in the music industry. So, in the midst of this digital revolution, how can we prepare ourselves for the unknown and the unprecedented change that lie ahead? Paul Armstrong is author of Disruptive Technologies, and he joins me now. Paul, you're very welcome to the programme. Paul, can I start you with a quote? Concise, actionable and insightful. Disruptive Technologies, that's your book, will help executives breathe easier and sleep better. Have we cause to be concerned?
I think yes and I think no is the answer. Technology has always been in our lives and it's always somewhat alarmed others and excited others as well. I think it's always how you view technology and how you let it rule you and how you make decisions based on the changes that are happening. So I think in some cases, yes, there's always cause to concern if you're creating robots that might one day eventually do jobs and that sort of stuff. But on the other hand, it's like you get much meatier questions of like, why were we put on this earth? Was it just to work hard and sweating fields and that sort of stuff? No, we've had technology do lots of things for us for a number of years. So I think it's always like how you view things.
Yeah, okay. Just give us your own definition of a disruptive technology, if you would.
Sure. So I view disruption in the same sort of way as Clay Christensen, who's the godfather of this, who came from Harvard University and has written a book on the subject. But it's basically when a product, business or service really looks to create new sort of value at the bottom of the market and then relentlessly sort of moves up and up and up, eventually changing and displacing their competitors or the established person in that market. So they start in the bottom right-hand corner of the graph and they move upwards and they really make, they look at what people value in certain things, they drop off what they don't, and they make new products based on those sorts of behaviors. So you start to sort of get two real key elements that happen when disruption happens. So number one is speed. Did you see it coming? If you did see it coming, it's probably not that disruptive. You should have done something, or you're just lazy. And then the biggest one for me is totality. So like, is it different enough from what was originally there? And if you can say yes to that, then you've probably got some sort of disruption that's available to happen to you.
What about the underestimation of the impact of a technology, where you're in a particular business and something happens that either makes the product cheaper or deliverable quicker or something that, is significant, but we underestimate the impact?
Yeah, so I think that's the key sort of area is when people sort of miss the signs that were sort of coming or the frustrations that their consumers have and other people see that and they swoop in. To give you a really good example of that, you could look at the company Blockbuster. Many, many moons ago, they were the ones that everybody thought were untoppable. They had such a big footprint in places like America, UK and that sort of stuff. And look at them now, they're absolutely gone from the business landscape and Netflix has taken over. And now you're starting to see people that maybe can't afford Netflix or want different sort of content choices. And that's why you see Google and Amazon now swooping into that sort of area, trying to disrupt the market with different sort of content offerings, whether that's original content or perhaps it's old favorites and that sort of stuff. It's a massive content land grab at the moment. But you've got other things like Amazon, I think you alluded to a minute ago, really disrupting the retail store experience. People now are able to get multiple items delivered to them in under 24 hours and they can send them back if they don't fit. So, you've absolutely fundamentally disrupted the experience there.
What about the scenario for companies, and again, in this space, that the first mouse doesn't always get the cheese, i.e. if you're first there, you can end up in the trap rather than the reward?
Yeah, I mean, there's always a first mover advantage, usually, whether that's PR fame or just, first mover competitive advantage and that sort of service. I do caution clients and sort of people generally about, lusting to be first all the time. But if you evaluate it and it makes sense to move, then you should, and you can do it, obviously move that. Resources aren't infinite for a lot of companies out there, certainly not in the political and economic climate right now. But if you see a good opportunity, you've got to be bold enough and you've got to have that company structure and that company mentality to really push yourself out there to do new things.
Let's talk about a few examples, Paul. What about, let's even look at blockchain or Bitcoin. Maybe just to chat about those for a second.
Sure. Blockchain's a big part of the book. It's definitely a disruptive technology. It's actually what I call a foundational technology. So let's start with what it is, all right? So at its simplest, it's a super secure ledger that has no central location. So there's not a HSBC like HSBC has. There's not a headquarters or a physical address. But it's something that helps people maintain the value chain or the trust chain, if that makes sense. So any business that has interest in trust or value will see eventually some form of disruption coming from blockchain. Okay, you're starting to see it in the financial sector already. One, Bitcoin, which is a brand of finance that's made available because of the blockchain, is now worth about £5,000, and that has doubled in multiple weeks. There's a lot of volatility in the market. It's still very early days. People are starting to sort it out. But at its simplest, it's a lot of computers solving mathematical problems to spit which is what they call mining, and they spit out a Bitcoin. There are only so many Bitcoins available, and that's why there are multiple Bitcoin companies set up. There's Ethereum, lots of other different ones as well. It's a very interesting area. But ultimately, blockchain, which is the bigger technology, the overarching technology, is going to help people, whether you're in healthcare, luxury goods. You mentioned music before. Copyright is a big area where blockchain can help, because you've got that super secure ledger, one instruction after another, and you can go back up and see what happened and who did what and who owns what and that sort of stuff. So it's very, very important technology.
Let's look at one that may be a little bit more practical for people to get their heads around. If we take the taxi industry and we take something like Uber or MyTaxi that we have here that was formerly Halo, therein, that disruption, there was something in it for the consumer, the user, and there was something in it for the provider, the driver. And where those two opportunities met was, to me, that was a classic case of disruption, everybody winning.
It's interesting that you say that that's a case of disruption. Actually, Clay Christensen, the godfather of this theory that came up about disruption, doesn't class Uber as a disruptive technology. When you think about what they offer and that sort of stuff, all they did was change the rules of the game. They didn't really change the game that was being played.
That's disruptive, is it not?
Well, I think the effects of it is, but it's from a hardcore technological standpoint, it's definitely not disruptive. But the outcome of what they have done is disruptive. I mean, ultimately, what have they disrupted? The way that you take a ride to somewhere? Not really. You've just changed the car that you're in. That's why I think the disruption sort of there. It feels very disruptive. And if you think about where Uber is moving at the moment, into things like Uber Eats, where they move delivery food from restaurants to people, that could disrupt supermarkets and that sort of thing. There is elements to say that their other areas of their business are very disruptive. I will absolutely grant you it is a area of hot contention on the internet, and a lot of people spend a lot of their lives arguing about it. But when you think about it from the sort of truest form of the theory, Uber is not as disruptive as you think it is.
Okay, and what about, would the learned professor agree with me on Airbnb, that's disruptive?
He would shake your hand and say, absolutely. Right, Airbnb has fundamentally rocked the hotel and travel industry. And I think they've got a lot more to come from them as well.
And you know, once you disrupt, then there's almost an onus on you to grow that business. So you actually, and even Uber getting into food deliveries or Airbnb getting into other things, that's all almost endemic, isn't it? That they will go somewhere else with a disruption.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, once you have shown success in something, there will always be people that copy, genius steals and that sort of stuff, as the old adage goes. When you think about how you stay different, it is that understanding of the value that you're adding and what your consumers want that you must remain laser focused on, because otherwise people like Airbnb will come along and do it for you.
Right. And then just in terms of advice, Paul, in your own book, and I'm talking to Paul Armstrong, he's the author of Disruptive Technologies. You advise companies then on things that they should do. So basically taking panic out of the process. Can you explain that to me?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the way that businesses can really sort of figure out how they're going to work with these technologies that are coming at them, you know, it's not like an if, it's a when, is in a couple of ways. So number one, being open to them is the biggest area that I talk to a lot of people. A lot of people tend to have guarded businesses and they're very sort of unsure about working with different companies and that sort of stuff. They pay for a lot of research, but then they keep it to themselves. They don't get other people to get them to think about it and how it sort of thinks. So I think the first thing I always say to people is be open. And that's often hard for a lot of companies, but there's workshops that we do with people to sort of get them sharing better and thinking differently and that sort of stuff. The second of all is changing their sources of input. And that's really about reading different things. So a lot of media at the moment is going on about political stuff and you've got to understand the other side and everything like that. Well, the same goes for other businesses. You've got to understand how other businesses work to figure out how they knock on effect and that sort of stuff. But it also does another thing. It starts instilling different ideas that people have done. So, for example, the Ford Motor Company are very famously saying we would not be where we are today if we hadn't have gone and talked to a chef about how they prepare food, because what we did was we looked at their way of creating an assembly line and we then retroactively fitted it to create cars much smarter. You can do the same in your businesses. You've just got to find out who those other people you've got to go and talk to are, whether that's someone you meet at a bus stop, at a conference, or someone that you think to yourself, like, he would never have anything to offer me. Ask him or her about their lives and see what they do and how they do things. And you might always be able, through analogy, to really figure out a new way of doing something.
Okay.
So I think those are the sort of main ways of doing it. But the other one is really create a steering group and make it in charge of those people to really instill change and knowledge throughout that business, which is, you know, a lot harder to do than say in this climate where you've only got so many hours in the day, but very, very important.
Okay, well, I get that. So get out of your comfort zone, folks, and get out there and understand businesses that are outside your sector. Learn from them and implement where fit. That's very, very, very interesting. Paul Armstrong, author of Disruptive Technologies. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Thanks very much.
Down to Business, sponsored by Flowgas. On the grid, off the grid. Flowgas is Ireland's only supplier of LPG and natural gas, wherever you are.